Begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Mem. Begin on the top of the Amud. We begin the next parak, the fifth parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, parak Hayabaitkin, which this Mishnah, this parak continues the theme of the previous parak regarding the order of the Mishnah, which was talking about the order of the procession of a court case, which we were talking about after that we were intimidating the witnesses regarding to make sure that they're telling the truth. So the Mishnah tells us Hayabaitkin Eisen B'Shevach Hakiris. They would inspect the witnesses with seven analyzing questions, which the Gemara will learn now from a pasuk how we know that the number is seven. And the seven questions are as follows. Be'eza Shavua, in which Shemitah cycle of a Yovel cycle is it? Which there's every 7 years is a Shemitah, and every seven Shemitahs after 49 years is a Yovel. So which Shemitah cycle is it in the Yovel cycle? Then Be'eza Shana, which year of the Shemitah cycle is it? Be'eza Chodesh, which month of that year? Ubekamba Chodesh, what day of that month, the 20th or the 25th? Be'eza Yoim, what day of the week? Because although they already said what day of the month it is, and then you could definitely know what day of the week was, even so, they asked them what day of the week, because all these seven questions are coming to bring the person, the witness, as potential to Hazama. Because now maybe there are witnesses who could be mazim them and say, hey, how can you say that you saw that happen in that place at that time when you were with us somewhere else? Now, people that might be listening might not think in their calculation, oh, the 23rd of the month, they're not going to think that, oh, he was with us in a different place at that time. But when they ask him what day of the week, and they says on that day, they say, hey, that day? What? He was with us there in that other place. And that's why we ask what day of the week, so that it assists in the ability of those who could be mazim them to do hazama to them. Continues the Mishnah, the question of Be'ezah Shah, what hour in the day was it? Because maybe we don't have witnesses who could be mazim them the entire day, that whole day you're with us somewhere else. But maybe there are witnesses that could be mazim them for that hour. They said, oh, is it 11 o'clock? 11 o'clock? 11, you're with us over there? How could you say that? And finally, the last question is Be'ezah Malkum, in which place, which that's actually the primary question that brings all the different questions to the ability of Hazama, because without that, there's no Hazama. The whole point of Hazama is that at that time, which includes the Shavua, the Shana, the Chedesh, the what day the Chedesh, what day and what hour, but primarily and at that place, geographically and time, which is that you were with us in a different place, so that's the importance of that last question. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, he disagrees with the Tanakhama, and his opinion will be explained in the Brice and the Gemara. He says there's only three questions. Be'ezah Yom, what day? Be'ezah Shah, what hour of the day? And Be'ezah Malkum, in what place? Now, however, the Mishnah continues that this is not from the Seven Chakiris that they ask for Hazama. Rather, these are what's called Bedikas. General questions just to trip them up and find the flaw in their testimony and to contradict what they're saying, which is to say, hey, you're not saying the same thing as your fellow witness is saying, which will then thus void their testimony, but they will not get the punishment they attempted to do onto the defendant. Rather, everyone's going to just walk away and be exempt. But, however, regarding the Chakiris of Hazama, there, again, there's not more than the number seven, as the Gemara will explain, Amud Beis, where we know that from. So the questions are, that they ask are, Makir Matam Oisai? Did you recognize the victim, the one that was killed? Maybe he was a non-Jew. Israsimbay, did you warn the killer regarding that he's going to get killed? And so too, Ho'ivar Abay Dezar, regarding somebody that worshiped idols, and if they're coming to testify regarding such a person, they ask the witnesses, Esmi Avet, which idol did he worship? Was it Baal Par? Was it Markailas? Ubama Avet, how did he serve it? Was it by slaughtering, or was it with bowing down? And again, that's to find inconsistencies in the testimony, which will then invalidate their testimony. Continues the Mishnah, Kalamarba Bibidikas, whoever the judges increase the different types of questions to ask and trip up the witnesses, Harizim Meshubach, that's praiseworthy, because if they're saying the truth, then they'll have the answer. If not, then they'll find them on some minutia which will do away with their false testimony. Now, says the Mishnah, Maiso Badik Ben Zakai, Ba'uktitanim, there's actually an incident, and Ben Zakai asked the witnesses questions regarding the stems of the figs, which they would testify regarding an individual that he murdered someone underneath a fig tree, and Ben Zakkai was inspecting regarding this fig tree, were the stems thick or were they thin? Which the stem is the tail of the fruit, which where it attached to the tree. That's how far he went to ask questions regarding trying to trip up the witnesses to exempt the suspected murder from being executed. Now the Mishnah continues, Ma ben chakiris l'bedikas. What's the halachic differences between the seven chakiris, which are integral for Hazama, and regarding bedikas, all these other questions? Says the Mishnah Chakiris regarding these seven analytical questions. Echad Omer Ein Yodea, if one of the witnesses says, I don't know what day of the week or what hour it was, Edusim Betela, then they throw the testimony out. And the reason for that is because these seven questions are learned out from Pesukim, and we need to have every one of these seven questions answered, because that's the only way we could make the Hazama possible. Now, the reason is because regarding Hazama, if a witness says that, I don't know, then you cannot be mazim him with that chakir, with that question, and because you can't prove that he was somewhere else because he doesn't know what hour was or what day was. And since you cannot fulfill Hazama in that witness, so all the testimony gets thrown out, even if there's 100 witnesses, because the witnesses do not become Eidim Zayman until all of them become Huzim. As the Gemara says, Makas Avheim Abeis, we don't know, even 100, that's what the Pasuk says, Eidim. So therefore, if one of the witnesses says, I don't know what day of the week it was, or what hour it was, or what place it was, then we can't do Hazamatim anymore, because no one could say, oh, were you with us at that time in a different place? He didn't say what place it is, or what time it was. So therefore, the Eidus is void. In contrast to Bedikus, all these other questions regarding if they asked him, did you warn him, what, how did he serve the Avodah Zarah, if Echad Eimer Ein Yodea, if one of them says, I don't know, but for the Shnayim Eimer Ein Yodea, even if two of the witnesses say we don't know, and even if they all say we don't know, Edusin Kayemis, their testimony is still valid because you can still fulfill the Hazama in these witnesses, because Hazama is only contingent on the Chakiris, which is that the other set of witnesses have to be able to tell them, you with us at that time in a different place. And that you could do. And it has nothing to do with to know what type of Avodah Zarah he did. We ask those questions because we want to trip them up. But if they say we don't know, it's still going to be a valid testimony. And whenever it says Edusin Betel in the Gemara, it means that they just throw out the case. Everyone goes away exempt, but they cannot prosecute the individual. Now the Mishnah continues, however, but echad chakiris for echad bedikis, but both regarding the chakiris and bedikis, bisman shemekhichin zazeh, if the two witnesses contradict each other, again, as we said, edus and betela, we throw out the testimony, and they throw out the court case. Now, echad eme b'shneim b'chedish, regarding contradicting each other, says the Mishnah, if one of the witnesses says it was on the second day of the month, v'echad eme b'shleish b'chedish, the other witness says it was on the third day of the month, Edusin Kayemis, the testimony is still valid. Why? Shazeh, because this one who said it was on the second day of the month, Yidea bi'iburi shel chedish, he knows that the previous month was a full month, which is chedish m'uber. Instead of 29 days, it had 30 days. Which thus, he knows that the first day of Rish Chedish was really day 30 of the previous month. And therefore, it's only 2 days into the new month. Bezeh, whereas the one who said it was the third day of the month, and Yidea bi'iburi shel chedish, he didn't know that it's what we call a two-day Rish Chodesh, which is day one is really day 30 the previous month, and day two is really day one of this new month. So therefore, he thought it's the third day, but it's really the second day. Therefore, they don't contradict each other. He just didn't know that it was a full month the past month. But let's say Zelim B'Shleisha. This one said it was the third day of the month. Echrem B'Chamisha, the other one says the 50th of the month. Then they do some material. Then it's void because that two-day discrepancy is not able to be explained away, and therefore it's a contradiction, and they're liars, and we throw it out. Now, similarly, Echadim b'shtei shayis. Someone says it was 2 hours into the day. Echadim, the other witness, says it was b'shalosh shayis 3 hours into the day. So one is saying that it was 7 o'clock, another one saying it's 8 o'clock. The testimony is still valid because people make an error to the difference between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. But let's say Echrem B'Shalish, one says it was the third hour of the day. Echrem B'Chamash, one says it's the fifth hour of the day, and it's already a large discrepancy. Then they do some Metela, we invalidate their testimony. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Kayemes, he disagrees, he says, no, people will still make a mistake in 2 hour of a difference, and therefore that will not contradict them, and will still be a valid testimony. But says the Mishnah, Echrem B'Chamash, if one witness says it was 5 hours into the day, Echrem B'Sheva, the other one says it was 7 hours into the day, then they do some Metela, then the testimony is invalid. Because that's not a mistake that anyone can make. In the fifth hour of the day, the sun is still on the east. Ubisheva, when it's in the seventh hour, the sun already passed into the west, and therefore a person would be able to tell that difference. People would not make that mistake, and therefore it must be that they're contradicting each other. So then Mishnah continues, after that they did the Chakiris and the Bedikis and this witness, then they bring in the second witness, and then they check him. If they find that their words are aligned with each other and they're saying the same testimony, now we have to go ahead and deliberate the law. So now the judges sit down and they open up with a merit, which as the Gemara said previously, is where they tell the defendant, look, if you didn't murder, don't be afraid. They open up by saying, prepare your case, because it doesn't necessarily mean that bad's going to happen to you. Now, Amar Echad Me'edim, if one of the witnesses say, who was trying to prove that he should be executed, he says, Yesh li l'lamar l'avschus. I know I'm from the witnesses that testified that he murdered, but I have what to say that will be in his defense. So then the Mishnah is saying that Mishaskin, I said, we silence that witness, and for sure if he was coming to find somebody to make, find him guilty, and the reason for this is the Gemara said previously, Devlam and Gimel Mebeis, the Pasuk says, as we read it, where we take the first word of the Pasuk and this last word of the Pasuk in different contexts, if we're reading it with the previous, we end before the word Lamos, we read it, Eid Echad L'yana B'nefesh, the witness should not say anything regarding the soul of the person, whether for to find him guilty or not guilty. And the reason why we wouldn't let him say anything in the defense of the defendant is because actually it seems to be a bias, because the witness might know that he was lying. He doesn't want this defendant to be prosecuted and handed a guilty verdict, because then at that moment, if Adam Zayman come and mazim him, meaning if he's proven to be a Hazama, he's going to get that same verdict and he's going to get killed. So although it sounds like he's doing a favor and trying to defend the defendant, it actually might be just covering his own skin. So regarding if one of the witnesses even wants to find a favor to say that he's not guilty, if one of the students that sit in front of the judges says, Yesh li l'lamar l'avchayva, I have something that could prove that this person is guilty, Meshaskin, I say, we silence him, as the Gemara had said previously, that regarding this reading of the Pasig of Echad lo yana benefesh lamas, that no one should speak up regarding the person to that he should be killed, which tells us that only if it's lamas, he's not allowed to answer up. But if it's for his chus, if it's for his merit that to find him not guilty, then we do listen, which is what the Mishnah continues. It says, if Amar Echad min HaTalmidim, one of the students says, Yesh li lamar l'avschus, I have a proof to show that he's not guilty, then Malnoi say, then they elevate that student to the court, Meshivin Nasi Benim, they sit him amongst the judges, and V'lohoye Yarid Misham Kaliyam Kule, they wouldn't take him down from the court that entire day. Now, Im Yesh Mamash Bidvarv, if they find the substance to what the student was saying, so Shemenli, they listen to him. Now, V'afilu Hu Aymer, the Mishnah continues, even if the defendant himself says, Yesh li l'lamar al'as mischos, I have something to say for myself to prove that I'm not guilty, Shemenli, they listen to him. As long as there's substance to what he's saying, if he's just playing a filibuster, then we don't listen to him. Now, if they find merit for him that he's not guilty, so but true, so they let him go. And if not, so then they have to execute him. But first, Mavirinai say they pass over the judgment until Lamachar, until the following day. And that's because, as we had told also previously, of the halacha of Halana Sadin regarding a guilty judgment, regarding a capital punishment, you have to sleep overnight in it. Then, on that same day, after that they said, okay, it seems like we're going to find them guilty, so we have to push it over to the next day, so they would leave the place where they were sitting. Then, umizdavgin, then they would peer together in their houses or in the marketplace, and they would deliberate, zugas, each judge would find a peer, and go ahead and back and forth to make sure that the truth will come out. Now, hayimimatim memachal, so on that day, they would diminish the amount of food that they would eat, v'hayishayisinyan kalayom, they wouldn't drink wine that entire day, and they would deliberate each man to himself the whole entire night, going back and forth to make sure that if they're going to execute somebody, he's going to be the rightful judgment. The next day, they would get up and come to court. Hamazaka, the one who yesterday found them not guilty, would say that I am from the one that was Mazaka, who yesterday had said that he's not guilty, and still, I still retain my position that I say that he's not guilty, and actually this is, he has no choice to say this. Because actually he's not allowed to retract as long as the deliberations are still going on. V'hamachayiv, and the one who had found him guilty, if overnight he didn't find any way of finding him not guilty, Imrani Machayiv says, I'm that one who yesterday had said he's guilty, and I maintain that position that he is guilty. Now, the Mishnah, however, tells us, Hamalamed, the one who had taught yesterday, Chayva, reason to say that he's guilty, if overnight he found reason to say that he's not guilty, Malamed Schos, he could change now and teach a reason to say that he's not guilty. But the one who yesterday had said a reason why he's not guilty, in the Yochalachs of Alamat Chayv, is not allowed to go and retract today and find a reason to say and hold his position that he is guilty. Now, Tobedaber, if they made an error in that, let's say he forgot that yesterday he said he's not guilty and today he wants to say that he's guilty, so Shnei Sefer HaDayon Maskir Naiseh, so the two scribes that were there by the court, they would remind him and say, hey, you're from those who we have on record here that said he's not guilty, you can't change anymore, you're the one that holds that he's not guilty. Now, if they find merit for this person, which is, let's say, the people that had said yesterday guilty, change their mind and find that he's not guilty, so, but true, they let him go. Now, bimlav, but if not, if they can't convince anyone that it's that Hadheli is guilty, that he's not guilty, so imdim l'minyan, so they stand for account. Shneim osim mezakin, ve'echad osim mechayavin. So we have this court of 23. You have 12 that holds that he's not guilty, and 11 holds that he is guilty. So zakeh is not guilty. But if shneim osim mechayavin, if 12 holds that he's guilty, ve'echad osim mezakin, and one holds that he's not guilty. Now, the Gemara previously taught us that you cannot decide a law for a guilty verdict based on one judge more of guilty to not guilty. So because of that, they have to add on judges. Moreover, says the Mishnah, let's say it's a tie. 11 say that he's guilty, 11 say that he's not guilty. The tiebreaker says, I don't know. Or even if 22 of the judges say that either that he's not guilty or that he is guilty, but if there's even one that says, I don't know, you see, for the young, and they have to add on the amount of judges, because the one who says, I don't know, it's like he's not there. And the halacha is that you cannot judge capital punishment, not for guilt or non-guilt, less than 23 judges. So you have to add on more judges. But how much would they add on? Shnaim, shnaim. Each time, if there's a split between the judges, they would add on two, which, if it would happen that one would say guilty and one would say not guilty, which there's still no decisive answer, because you can't have, you're not going to have one more to say that he's not guilty, and neither are you going to have two more to say that he is guilty. So then you're going to have to add in another two, and so on, ad shiv me'echad, until you reach the number 71. Which, if you finally reach 71, and you have shleishim v'shishim mezaken, now you finally, at the last two that were added, you have 36 that say that he's not guilty. V'shleishim v'chamishim v'chayev, and you have 35 that say he is guilty, so you have one more of not guilty, then zaket, he's not guilty. But shleishim v'shishim mechayav, but if you have 36 that say he's guilty, v'shleishim v'chamishim mezaken, 35 that say he's not guilty, which we said, so that's where we're stuck. We can't go higher than the amount of this aned nagalu, which is 71. But you have now only one more of guilty, which we said you cannot loisiach ram l'rais. You can't finalize a guilty verdict based on one more. So what do you do? It says the Mishnah done elu k'neged elu. So each one starts judging the other one back and forth. You have to fight it out, so to speak, at Shiro, Echem Mechayav, and different Mezak, until one of those who holds that he's guilty, and that he'll find the reason and the rationale and the understanding of the one who holds that he's not guilty. And then he'll change over, and then you'll have one more, because when you switch, you have 36, 35, it suddenly turns into 36 of not guilty and 35 of guilty. That we said you could decide the law of Lataiva of not guilty based on the majority of one. Now, but actually, that the same halacha would apply if one of those who hold that he's not guilty will see the reasoning of the ones who hold that he is guilty, which then you're going to have 37 hold that he is guilty, then you're going to have a majority more than one, you're going to have actually of three, and then you could prosecute and execute an individual, because at the Gemar Hadin, at the conclusion of the court case, there the halacha we taught previously in the Avlamad Dalet Omen Aleph, that even the one who had taught Schus, which we said previously in the Mishnah, cannot back out and change his mind, he could retract and teach Chayva if it's all the way at the end. So why did our Mishnah say it in a way of only that the one who said Mechayovin could switch and hear Divim Mizakin? That's because that's the appropriate way of saying it, because the Tanva Mishnah wants to find merit not to have someone executed, it says in that way, but the truth is it would apply the other way too. Something's got to move. Either the guilty say not guilty, or the not guilty say guilty. Now the Gemara asks, Manan Emili, where do we know this halacha from the opening halacha of our Mishnah, that there are seven primary questions that are necessary for Azama, that are required questions that need to be answered by the witnesses. So Rabbi Yehuda says, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, the Derashta, you should seek, the Chakarta, and you should check out, which sounds like very much, the Sha'alta, and you should ask, which that itself actually doesn't sound like a Chakir type of a thing, until it says there in the Pasuk, actually Heitev, very much, when it says with that. So you have three terminologies that talk about checking into the veracity and validity of what their witnesses are saying. You have the Derashta, the Chakarta, and Heitev. Because Mishalta on itself is not enough, it's only say Mishalta hate it. And this pasuk is said by Ir Nidachas, which is a city that gets entirely wiped out because that they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Then there's a pasuk in Devarim, which is by an individual that worships idol worship. It says, V'hugud l'cha v'shamata, will be told to you and you will hear, but Derashta hate it, and you'll seek very much. That's two. Because Derashta without hate it, as we said before, sounds like checking it out very much. And with the word hate it, that's a second one. So you have three plus two. Then, you have a pasuk in the Devarim, which is by Edom Zayman, by witnesses that were found out to be liars and that they were actually somewhere else at the same time that they claimed what they saw. It says, V'doshu ha-shreiftim heitim, that the judges seek this out very much, which is that v'hine et sheker heyed, they find out that this guy was lying in his testimony. So the Torah is warning you that they have to check out very well these last witnesses that are being mazen, the first ones, to make sure that the first pair of witnesses that they're testifying regarding were really liars. And that's v'darshu, and the word heitav again, that makes for a total of 7 terms of questions, which are these 7 chakiris that we said are required to be able to be mazim, which are these 7 piercing questions that are asked to every pair of witnesses. Now, however, as a ketintam and beis, the Gemara asked, but ve'ema, but maybe say, that the Torah didn't say you should have these 7 questions by every one court case. Rather, in every chad, in every one sin, it's kedich siva. It's like it says in that parsha. Meaning, but irene dachas, we said there's 3 terminologies. But for dessert, it says 2 terminologies. And by edim zim, it says 2. Maybe that by irene dachas, you ask 3 questions. By dessert, 2. And edim zim, 2. How do you know that you combine them all together? Because actually, ask the Gemara dim kain, because if it was that so, like you're claiming that you need 7, all these 7 questions by every court case of capital punishment, then let the Torah write all of these 7 terminologies b'chada, by one. And then we would learn that all capital punishments from that case. From the fact that it was split up into 3 different parashas, obviously it's specifically as it says in each parasha, that's how many you need over there. How do you know to learn each one from the other, to add them all up and make it into a total of 7 for every capital punishment court case? That the Gemara answers, no, kiven the kula b'hadei adodi k'siva, since all of them are written in the same context that it says the term of drisha, of checking it out, and they're all compared in that element, so obviously mahadadi yalfi, they learn not from each other to say what applies to this one applies to this one, and given the yalfi mahadadi, since you're learning at one from the other, it's like it's all written in one place. Yeah, it's like it's written in one place. They're all the same halacha, they all say drisha, and there's 7 terminologies, that's how we know that there's 7 chakirs. That the Gemara asked, but v'haloi dami ladadi, it's not true. They're not comparable one to the other, to learn out one from the other. And therefore, how could you learn out? Because each one is different to say that the halacha of chakir would not apply to it. And the siman to recall this of why each 3 are different is palat, sayif, and asra, which is the 3 differences each one of these 3 have from the other 2. Because iran idachas, regarding a city that's rejected, that's killed out because they did avodah zarah, lahanach tarti loy damya, it's not similar to those 2 other parishes to learn out from them the amount of chakiris that's written by them. Because it would be logical to say that by edim zeimin and by an individual that does avodah zarah, that yes, there you would need to check out the witnesses that are trying to prosecute that person, which that's with the objective of falsifying the witnesses to exempting the defendant, because those sins are less severe than iran idachas. How do we know that? Shekein memoinim palat. By Edom Zayman, or an individual that does avodah zarah, his money doesn't get wiped out. And therefore, you see, it's not such a severe sin, so therefore we try protecting him. But regarding iran idachas, which is a very severe sin, where there even their money has to be wiped out, then maybe I should not say that there's a requirement of chakiras, in other words, and not to contradict the witnesses that are trying to prosecute him, and maybe by iran idachas, we don't do the chakiras. We let them testify, and then we prosecute the iran idachas. So to avodah zarah lahanach tarti ladamya, avodah zarah, an individual doing idol worship, is not similar to those 2, shekin b'sayif, because the iran idachas, they're killed out by the sword. Edim zayman, in the parashah of Edim zayman, it sounds like it's also talking about when witnesses had testified regarding a murderer, as the pasuk says in the verb yutes, nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin, and actually, even if we would say that the halacha of Edom Zayman applies to all types of people they tried prosecuting, even someone that was going to get skila, but since there are cases of Edom Zayman that they're going to get killed by the sword, let's say when they tried to prosecute someone that would have gotten killed by the sword, so we could understand that the pasuk would not be stringent on them to kill them until you first do chakira on the ones that are trying to be mazim them. Because many times they're only getting a less severe death penalty of saif. In contrast to avodah zarah, which gets skila, so there, maybe since it's a very severe avera, maybe they would don't go ahead and check out the witnesses who are trying to prosecute him. And finally, edim zayman lahanav tarti ledamin. And also, edim zayman is not compared to those other 2. Shekin tzrich masra, because those 2 need hasra. of an individual Avodah Zarah or a city does Avodah Zarah, they have to be warned. In contrast, Ba'idim Zayman, because the Pasuk says that the punishment you do to the false witnesses is Kashazam, like they tried to do to the defendant, which was a lie, they get that same penalty themselves. Now, this aide attempted to kill somebody without having warned him, because that's the nature of what Hazama is. They're lying regarding, and they would have gotten him killed. They get the same thing without warning. So since it's such a severe punishment, which indicates it's such a severe avera, maybe there is no chakira. So how could we learn out one from the other ones when each one has a reason to say it's not like those other twos to learn out that those chakiras, which is actually a defense for the defendant, should apply by the other ones too? So the Gemara answers, behetiv hetiv yalfi madodi. We're not learning out because of the term drisha. It's because each one says the term hetiv and ugzereshava mufna, and this is a superfluous ugzereshava. As the Gemara is going to explain, meaning the word hetiv was really not necessary to say. And anytime you have a gzeres shava where it says the same word in other parashas and we're comparing them, where the words are superfluous, you can't ask any question on that gzeres shava. Because that's one of the midas in the Torah, which is when you have a superfluous gzeres shava, you could learn that gzeres shava and you don't refute it based on questions. Now, as the Gemara says, because the ilay mufne ikle mifrach, because if it wasn't superfluous, the terminology of hetiv, then you could ask, as we just asked before, we said, wait, how can you compare the two, even though the gzeres shava, but there's reasons to differentiate and say that, no, here it's more severe, and maybe here we don't allow the defense of chakiris. So, says the Gemara, the answer to the question is, because it's gzeres shava mufna. And the Gemara says, la'ai, yes, afnuyim mufne, it most definitely are superfluous words, these words hetiv. Because midahavale lemichtav, and the fact that it should have written by Edim Zayman, vidarshu v'chaku, that you should check and you should analyze. Vishani krabidi burbehetiv, and the Torah changed its words by adding on the word very much. Shmaminoa, we could infer from that. Why did it change the terminology? Is lafnuye, that it should be superfluous. And the primary pasuk is coming to expound the numbers of how many times it says it, which then we put it together with all the other ones that say the same word hetiv to make for the total number of seven. But the Gemara asks, "Vakati mufne mitzad echadu." But still, this is not that every terminology of hetiv is superfluous. It's only on one side of the gezeirah shava that it's superfluous. Because bishlei mahanach tarti, we could understand out of two of the three that by avodah zarah and edim zayman, where it doesn't say chakira, so then you could say, "Well, mufnehu." Then the word hetiv is superfluous. Mishum dehavalei lemichtav, because it should have said a terminology of chakira, and instead it writes the word hetiv. Why did it change the terminology? To compare the terminology that it says in all these parashas to make that drasha of the gzeres shava, and that we know because the word hetiv is superfluous. Why say hetiv when you can say the word of drisha? But Ella asked the Gemara Irani Dachas regarding the city that does avodah zarah, where it says already b'derashta b'chakarta my havalei lemechtav. What should the Torah have written instead of the word hetiv if it's coming to add on the amount of times we want to say how many questions you have to ask? Haksivakul already says all the words. It says v'darshu, it says v'chaku. So if we want to add on more questions by the parasha of Irani Dachas, we have to say the word hetiv. So you can't tell me the word hetiv is superfluous. Why did you say you should have said a different word? Obviously, it's because you want to compare it to all the places that says hetiv. No, we just wanted to figure out the dachas. But what other word could we have used? So that's a difficulty on this gzeres shava. Since it's there are questions we could ask in it, it would only be not askable if it's mufna. But it's not mufna by the parasha of the dachas because you needed the word hetiv. What else could we write? Now the Gemara says, no, hasan nam efnu mufni, and there also the word hetiv is superfluous, it's extra. If you wanted to write another terminology to indicate another question being asked, you should have said the same terminology twice. Darish tidrish, like it says many times in Torah, seek you shall surely seek out, oi chakar tachkar. But v'shani krabidi bur behetiv, but the Torah switched in its terminology by writing the word hetiv. Shemamino lafnuye, obviously it's coming to teach us that it's superfluous to say what applies by this one, applies by this one, applies by this one, which then we put them all together, which is 3 and 2 and 2, which makes for a total of 7 questions. That's the source for the Sheva Chakiris of our Mishnah. Now, continues the Gemara, v'asu nechnakin, and we could learn out regarding someone that gets the death penalty of the court of being choked, where their witnesses also need to go through drisha v'chakira. How do we know that? From we have 3 parishes that the halacha of chakiris are learned out from. We have avodah zarah, irani dachas, and edim zayman. Avodah zarah is killed by skila. Edim zayman is by sayif, is by the sword. Where we said that there it needs to have drisha v'chakira. Where, as we said, if not for that, then the person will not get executed. So if so, chenek, being choked, which is the least severe death penalty, isn't it a kolshkin that that person for sure will not be executed until we first do drishas v'chakiris on his witnesses? So that's how we know nechnakim. Now, v'asu nisrafin, how do we know regarding those who have the death penalty of being burnt? That's b'kavochaymer miniskalm. That's also learned from b'kavochaymer, from those who get skila from avodah zarah, because skila is more severe than sreifa, because in contrast by nerag and those who get the killed by the sword, then you can't learn a kavochaymer for nisrafin, because yeah, maybe neragin, which is the killed by the sword, which is less severe of a death penalty, maybe there he doesn't get executed until his witnesses are checked out. But by sreifa, which is more severe, maybe there you don't require. Therefore, the kavochaymer would only be from the niskal and from those of avodah zarah, where there we see it needs chakira. So too over here, it would require chakira. But the Gemara asks on this last point, hanichal rabbanon, but this only well according to the rabbanon, the army skila chamura, that hold that the death penalty of being stoned is more severe than sreifa. So if skila, which is very severe, still requires the witnesses to be checked out, what's the kavochaymer regarding sreifa? But El Reb Shimon Dama Sreifa Chamur Kunt, Reb Shimon that says that the most severe death penalty is for that of Sreifa. So my Eichel, what are you going to say? So there's no Kavachemer. Maybe Sreifa actually does not require Drisha V'Chakira, because the Torah sources only have by Saif and regarding Skila. So Chenek we know from a Kavachemer. But Sreifa, that's the most severe, according to Reb Shimon, how do you know that it requires Chakira? So Elam Rabbi Huda, rather Rabbi Huda brings a different source, how Reb Shimon would know that. The pasuk says in Devarim, "V'hinei emes nachin." The pasuk that we brought before, which was told by Avodah Zarah, and that it's true, it's proper, and so too it says later on, "V'hinei emes nachin," that it's true and it's proper, which is by Irnei Dachas. Which sounds like when it says emes and nachin, how do you know that it's truthful and it's proper? It's because you did drishas and chakiris. So hachad sreis. So that makes actually for a total of 11. You have the 7 that we brought before from Irnei Dachas, Avodah Zarah, and Edom Zayman. Then you have the 4 from over here, which is the term emes nachin, emes nachin. 7 and 4 is 11. So, sheva l'sheva chakiris, we have 7 terminologies, is the 7 questions that we ask. What day of the week? What day of the yovel? What day of the what place was it? And so on. So, that's 7. Dal t'las gzeir shabbat, then we have to take away from the remaining 11, 3 to teach us the gzeir shabbat. The word heitib in each one is not used to ask a question, but it's used to say we want to compare it, it's mufnis, superfluous, to say we add them all together. So pash luchadus, you're left with 1, because you have 7, and 3 is 10, and you have 1 more from the 11. So the Rebbe Shimon, lasu nisrafin, that extra one, according to Rebbe Shimon, comes to teach nisrafin, that's the most severe, that even there you have to ask the 7 questions. The Rabban, according to Rabban, and milsa de asti b'kavochemer, even though it's nisrafin, it could have been learned from a kavochemer, from skila, because they hold skila is more severe, but tarach v'kasa b'kra. Still, the Torah goes and puts in the effort and writes it, as we find many times, that if it could be written many times, even though you can know from Kavachemah, the Torah writes it anyway. Now, Megadif Barab Bavo, Bavo laughed at this, and he says, what do you mean? Why are you saying that this 11th terminology is being used to teach the halacha of Sreifa? Maybe that one is teaching that instead of 7 questions, you actually ask 8 questions, meaning 3 are needed to teach the Gezer Shava. So you're remaining with 8. Why say 7 questions and 1 is teaching Sreifa? Actually say that extra 1 is teaching that there are 8 questions to ask. Which the Gemara actually asks back on Rebbe Vo's question, are there 8 questions? How could you even find an 8th question to ask that are integral to bringing the witnesses to Azama? To which the Gemara asks back, Allah Malai, why not? Why do you think we can't find the 8th question that's integral for Azama? But you could ask, how many minutes in the hour was it? Which that could bring a witness to Azama. Because if let's say he says it was halfway through the hour or a third of the hour, and then witnesses come and say, well, that part of the hour, you with us, and then it'll become Zayman. In contrast, if he had said only what hour was, it wouldn't necessarily be that minute in the hour, and therefore that wouldn't necessarily be Hazama. And B'tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa, that you actually would ask him 8 questions. So why are you saying that the extra terminology is being used for Reb Shimon to teach Sreifa? How do you know maybe there's 8 questions and not 7? So the Gemara responds back and says, well, honichala baya libad Rameya. This would be very well according to Abaya and what he says in Rameya's opinion. The Amma that he says, a person does not make an error at all. Or olahach lishna nami, and even according to the other version, dama adam taya mashu, and this is a discussion between Abaya and Rav in the first parak of Masechet Pesachim, David Alfam Beis, regarding the timing of testimony, where even according to the other version, which says, okay, even if a person makes a mistake, but it'll make a very small mistake. So shaper, So then we could understand that, look, if a person never usually makes a mistake, we could understand why you're asking how many minutes in the hour was it? Because even the differentiation of 10 minutes would be enough to make a difference if we're going to be mazin these eidim or not. But elabaya libad Rabbi Yehuda, according to Abaye in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Omar Adam Ta'echat, that says a person would make an error, and it's very normal, and doesn't contradict him up to a span of a half hour. And Ula Rav, and definitely according to Rav, the Omar To Inshri Tuba, that he says people make a mistake even more, the margin for error is allowed even more than that. So Michael Amema, so then what are you going to say? In other words, why are you saying that there's an eighth question to say what, how many minutes in the hour was it? But let's say he says it was halfway. And witnesses come and they're mazim them, they cannot be mazim them that entire hour, because if he says it was in the beginning of the hour and they say, oh, it's the second that you were with us at the time, he can say, well, I made a mistake until halfway of the point. Or even if he tells them from the beginning till the halfway point you were with us, they're not going to do hazama because he's going to say, well, maybe it's really the end of the hour. And because, like we said, people make that amount of errors, and therefore it's still not understood what Rebbe Vo's question is on Rebbe Yehuda, according to Abaya in Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, which is Amoyra in the Tano, or according to Rav and all Tanoim that say, well, people make such a mistake. So how can you ask the question of a Kambasha that wouldn't be enough to be Mazam someone? The 60 minutes in the hour is not enough to contradict a person. So Ella Suya Bekamba Yevel, rather, explains the Gemara, what Brisa was saying, which Rebbe Vo was asking, what the eighth question would be, is in how many, in which year in the Yevel cycle is it? So the Gemara says, wait, Hayne Be'ezit Shavua already said that of the seven questions. That's which Shemitah cycle was it? Ella rather says the Gemara, La Suya Be'ezit Yevel. The eighth question would be, which Yevel cycle was it? There's 50-year cycles, which from the time of the beginning of the of Eretz Yisrael that the Jewish people came in, that there's Yevel cycle, what Yevel cycle is it? That's going to be the eighth question, and therefore you don't have a source necessarily for Reb Shimon, how he knows Sreifa has the Drishas V'chakiris. Whereas V'idach, but according to Reb Yehuda, how he was explaining Reb Shimon, that he says, no, the 11th terminology is telling us, not an eighth question, but rather the source for Sreifa, according to Reb Shimon, that there's going to be Drishas V'chakiris. He says, Kibin the Amen Be'ezit Shavua, once we already said in the seven questions, what Shemitah cycle is it? Le'bayi Be'ezit Yevu, we don't ask, what Yevil cycle is it? Because people don't generally wait from one Yevil cycle to the other. People, there's not that many Yevil cycles a person lives through, and therefore we're not going to make that as the eighth question about what Yevil cycle is it. If we say it's the third Shemitah of the year, people are not waiting 50 years to confuse it with the previous Yevil cycle, and therefore that's not the eighth question. Rather, that 11th terminology is teaching us Sreifa according to Reb Shimon, which Rabbanan don't need it, but it's Tarach V'Kasav L'Kra anyway, regarding how do you know that Sreifa, the most severe, according to Reb Shimon, death penalty, requires also to defend the defendant with the seven questions that we ask. Now the Mishnah quoted at Reb Yisim, he disagrees with the Tanakam. He says there's no seven questions, rather only three questions. So the Gemara elaborates, Tanya, quoting a Braisa, Amar lahem Reb Yisim b'cham Reisa, tzedek chacham, l'divreichem. According to your opinion, that you have to ask all these seven questions. Misha bava Amar emesh argoy. Somebody comes and says that yesterday he killed him. So what do you think? Aymele, we're going to tell him, Be'ezah Shavua, what Shemitah cycle was it? Be'ezah Shana, what year was it? Be'ezah Chodesh, what month was it? Mekam B'chodesh, how many years in the month was it? What do you mean? He said it was yesterday. What are you trying to trip him up? It's yesterday. So you have to ask him what day, you have to ask him what hour, you have to ask him which place, but that's it. What do you have to ask all these questions for, as is obvious when the guy says it was yesterday? So Amalei, they say back to him, wait a second, Lidvarech, according to your claim, what you're trying to ask on us, Mishabav Amma Achshav Harkav, somebody comes and says that right now he killed him. Amalei, we tell him, Beza Yom, what day? Beza Cho, what hour? Beza Malkum, what place? Meaning you say there's three questions that we ask. Why are we asking even those questions? Why are we asking what day? What hour? He says it was right now. Ella, rather, Avagav Leitzach, even though it's not necessary, Raminale, still we impose upon the questions, even according to you, with your three questions. Because Reb Shimon ben Elazar, like Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, as we brought this previously, Dav Lamed Beis and Beis, to make the witnesses go through the ringer, so to speak, which is that we take them from one place to another place so that they start getting confused and saying, you know what, I don't get a good feeling, I don't want to say this line, they'll back out. So Chanam here also, Avagav Leitzarach, even though you're right, if someone says it was yesterday, really it's not necessary to say what Shemitah cycle, what year, what month, and so on. But Ramina, like Reb Shimon Elazar, still we impose all the seven questions like we find from Shimon Elazar, where, and therefore it's not a difficulty, we're not any different than your opinion. Whereas Reb Yisi, he would say no. Emesh, yesterday, Hargoy, that if he says that yesterday he killed him, That's shchiach b'raividias. That's something very common by most testimonies, which that would require those three questions. The seven questions don't apply. It's very common someone to say that yesterday killed him. So you have to say, okay, what day was it? Okay, what hour? What place? That makes sense. Achshav haragali shchiach b'raividias. But the question that you're asking back on me and saying, well, you're saying that yesterday is common, so you only need to ask three questions, not seven. Well, how about today? Then even your three questions are not pertinent. He says, well, that's not so common that someone should say, right now he killed him. Since yesterday is the more common one, three questions is what makes sense, not from 10 years ago and neither from today, and therefore he holds Nalik Techachamim that there's only three questions and not seven. Then the Mishnah continued and said regarding the different bedikas, the different questions that we ask, not the seven for Hazama, but general questions to contradict and to find inconsistencies in their testimonies. So the questions were Makir Matamaisa. One of the questions was, well, did you recognize the victim? As the Gemara elaborates, Tanabon Abraisa. Makir matam oisei, did you recognize the victim? In other words, Nachri harig, Yisrael harig, did he kill a non-Jew? Did he kill a Jew? Hasrisim bai, did you warn him? And moreover, kibul of hasra, did the defendant accept upon himself your warning? In other words, did he say, yes, I know that you're warning me not to do this? Hiter atzmei lemisa, did he even open himself up to the death penalty? In other words, when you warned him and you said, look, don't violate this sin because you're going to be liable for this death penalty, did he say, yes, it's with that intention that I'm doing it? Because actually, if he does not open himself to the death penalty, he actually is not going to get executed, as the Gemara says later on, the next daf, and daf mim alef mim alef. So you have to make sure that he says, well, did he open himself up to death? Hamis b'techikei dibur, did he kill within the amount of time that it takes to say hello to somebody, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi, peace be among you, Rabbi, within that amount of time? Because if he delayed those few seconds longer after you had warned him, then actually you could say that maybe he really forgot the warning and then actually we can't execute him. And if it's Ho'eva Avodah Zarah, if they're coming to testify regarding someone that worshipped idols, we ask him, Esmi Ovid, which idol did he worship? L'Pa'ar Ovid, L'Makailis Ovid. Did he worship Pa'ar? Was it Makailis? U'Bemalvid, how did he worship it? B'zibuach, by slaughtering, b'kitur, by sacrificing, b'nisach, by pouring libations, b'shtachva, with bowing down. And this again, all to get all the different details, which is we want to make sure the story is truthful and honest. So to do that, they ask each witness separately to make sure that the story is all the way, because if they made it up, they might catch them on some snag that from the halachas that Mishnah speaks about that are required of the bedikas that apply to a court case of capital punishment.